Good morning. Please turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13, please. It's good to see each and every one of you here this morning, to now be able to open from God's Word and study a portion of His Word, which I hope will not only encourage us, but instruct us and put us, hopefully, on the right track in our lives as those who are interested in God and in serving Him. It's really amazing to think about the fact that God had a plan from before the foundation of this world, that He thought of man, and that He thought about the possibility, the potential, the reality that with free will there comes the consequence of that, and that is that men would sin. But He had a plan that He would in fact help remedy that sin and make the relationship that He intends possible with Him through His Son, Jesus Christ. And so He began to work out His plan from the very beginning. And we see that plan develop throughout the pages of the Scriptures. And we see finally that in Jesus, God became flesh, God among men, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And He lived a sinless life, perfect, without violation of any sort or kind, to God's will. And as such, He is a suitable sacrifice. And that's exactly what He did. He sacrificed His life, not only in the choices that He made from a day-to-day basis, but also in giving His life on the cross for our sins. And in doing so, made possible our freedom from sin and the guilt that comes upon sin. And we know that that sacrifice did not end Him, that He gave His life upon that cross, that He gave up His spirit, but also that after He was buried in a borrowed tomb, that His spirit reunited with that body, He raised to new life, and He lives again, to never die again. He is the first fruits of the resurrection. And He is raised from this earth after having given His disciples instruction as to how they ought to proceed in helping mankind come to know Him and the truth that sets them free from their sins. And He ascended to the right hand of the Father, where He now reigns and rules over the hearts and lives of men and women like you and me who have obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's amazing to think about that good news, but then to understand that not everyone will accept that good news. Not everyone will hear that good news. And in fact, sadly, some will oppose this good news and will go out of their way to try to silence God's message and God's messengers. And it might really cause us some concern, and more than that, some frustration with how can such a good message, how can such good news be rejected? And so one of the things that we want to talk about this morning is how is that possible? Because you see, God did not give a good and perfect message without also understanding that not everyone will accept it. But also, God would not give a good and perfect message without the responsibility for godly people to go and share that message with others so that they might have the opportunity to hear this good news and respond to that good news. And we're going to talk about that as well. So we're talking this morning about planting the seed. We're talking about the parable of the sower to begin with in Matthew chapter 13, beginning in verse 3. In Matthew chapter 13 and verse 3, beginning, "Then Jesus spoke many things to them," that is, His disciples and the crowds who have gathered together, "in parables." Now, a parable is a story, but it's not just a tale or some narrative. It is the laying by one thing of another. And so what God does through the parables is to present us with something we understand in daily life, so that He can teach us about something we don't understand or comprehend, so that we can know about it and can proceed with knowledge and confidence. And so it says here that Jesus spoke many things to them in parables, saying, "Behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places, where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. and some seed fell among thorns. The thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some a hundredfold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. And so Jesus presents this story about planting seeds in the various types of soil. And that's something that all of us to some degree can understand and can have experience with, if not ourselves, then those around us who plant and who garden and who farm. And then he expects us to understand something spiritually about this, because he is talking here about things that have a greater and more significant value than even the food that grows from the ground. And we find out about this as Jesus' disciples come to him and say, explain this to us. Then that's exactly what Jesus is looking for. People who, when they hear what Jesus says, say, I want to hear more about this. I am interested. I don't understand it all, but I have a desire to know more, Lord. And that's exactly whom Jesus then blesses with an explanation about this parable. And so in verse 18, he answers the question of his disciples who have taken the time and made the effort to say, tell us about this. Explain it to me, please. In verse 18, therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received the seed by the wayside. So Jesus is saying there are some people like this. When the word of God is shared, the words concerning the kingdom are shared, well, some people just don't accept that word in. It doesn't have time to take root. The devil, through his tricks and his wiles and his efforts in that heart, causes it to have no purchase, no effect or avail. But Jesus continues saying, but he who received the seed on the stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. There's a different kind of person here described. And he's saying, well, they might initially receive this word, but well, when things get tough in discipleship, in living faithfully for the Lord on a day-to-day basis, when all the pressures of the world are pressing down and people are speaking hatefully and hurtfully, these people who have received the word, who began the good growth, they choose to reject that because of that pressure they're feeling. Now, he who received the seed among the thorns, Jesus said, is he who hears the word, and the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. Here's a third kind of person, Jesus said, that you're going to deal with as you share this message that I'm going to give you about the kingdom of heaven. These are people who might have an interest in these things, but their greater interest is in the things going on in this world. And so much so that their attention is going to be taken away from the word. Their discipleship will begin to lessen and lessen so that they look more like the world they left than the Christ who has saved them. And they become unfruitful. But then Jesus says, but that's not all there is. But he who received seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understand it, who indeed bears fruit and produces, some a hundredfold, some 60, some 30. And so Jesus said, the word, that is the seed, accomplishes something in this kind of heart. The kind of heart that's cultivated, that doesn't allow the devil to come in and to remove. The kind of heart that doesn't allow the stones and the sticks and the things that disrupt the good soil to be a hindrance. The kind of heart that doesn't allow the cares and the thorns and thistles of this world to take root themselves and grow alongside in that heart. This is the kind of heart that will in fact produce fruit for the Lord because of the word that is implanted. And so these individual parts of the parable are defined by the Lord. You see, that's what his explanation did for these disciples. It helped them to understand that, yes, this is an amazing message. It is the very word of the kingdom, but not everyone is going to accept it. The word of God is that seed, powerfully capable of providing life through bearing fruit. But the sower, well, he is instrumental. He is involved in sowing this seed and sowing it broadly. And the soils are representative of those different kinds of heart. And the main point, really, in this is personal responsibility and the power of God's word. Personal responsibility that is involved here. The four types of heart, each because of its composition, is either a good or a poor recipient for the word of God. So I ask you to examine yourself and to do so often as to what kind of heart you possess and are cultivating. Because the things that we choose in this life to give our attention to involve ourselves in, have a direct bearing on the quality and content of our hearts. And so the composition of this heart that we possess, and I'm not talking about the blood pump, but rather the individual spirit that is within, that has the capacity to think and to reason, to decide for myself as to what path I will take and what help I will accept or reject. That's my responsibility. Now the sower in this case has responsibility too. Sow the word of the kingdom. But I want to point out that the sower is not to predetermine. The sower is not responsible for deciding beforehand, this soil is the one that will bear fruit, so I'll plant it there. That soil I don't have confidence in, I'm not going to try. That's not our decision to make when we are sowers of the word. We are to scatter it broadly and let that seed fall on all kinds of hearts. Because we are not a good judge of other people's hearts. God is. And his determination is for the sowers to be involved in broadly scattering that seed and let it fall where it falls. Because as we'll see in a little bit in our lesson, the seed is powerful. But the sower is responsible for scattering that powerful seed broadly, so that it can find all kinds of hearts, and each of those hearts has the responsibility and the opportunity to accept or reject it. And the word that is sown in our hearts is capable of bearing fruit if our hearts provide that suitable soil for life. And so really a good point to ask ourselves in this lesson right now is, do I allow the devil to have influence in my heart so that when I hear the word, the things that I've been listening to from the devil will take that word right out? So I don't even begin to bear any fruit for the Lord, begin to have any faith in what is true and what is right. Is that something you can help? You can affect if you're listening to, allowing in the devil to your heart. Another question that is a good thing to ask at this point is, do I trust so little in the promises of God that I'm overly concerned for physical safety and for physical circumstances that I'd rather not bear fruit so that I can preserve my own life? I'm concerned overly with the cares of this world and of self-preservation in a physical sense rather than spiritual. Do I allow my care for this world and daily life to crowd out the Word of God so that maybe I give attention to it a little bit here, a little bit there, but it really doesn't bear fruit in my life on a daily basis throughout the calendar? Or am I taking care of my heart, understanding that I'm not perfect, but that I'm going to weed out those things that I identify by the Word as weeds, and as dangers, and as stones, and as destructive things poisons maybe so that I don't have those things and I have a good soil with which the Word can work. See, that's within my capacity. That's within my responsibility. And the same is true for you. It's up to us, you and me, as to the condition and care of our hearts. That's why the wise man says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. That heart, that spirit of you, that inhabits that body that you possess, that heart is given to you by God and is your responsibility and in your possession to do with as you please, but understand as we please has consequences. And when we choose to cultivate the kind of heart that is receptive to the Word, we will benefit and be blessed, and others as well. But if we choose to squander this heart, this spirit of ours, on the things of this world, we can be sure that there is a consequence that is eternal and that is damnable. The Lord is instructing His disciples then as now about personal responsibility. And if I have a heart, and if you have a heart that provides a good ground for God's Word, and you're busy in cultivating that heart and uprooting the things that don't belong and allowing things to grow that do, that's going to be apparent, and that is apparent. We see that. Others see that. And above all, God sees it and is pleased. That's fruit-bearing for the Lord. If you look at Matthew chapter 13, verse 23, he who received the seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it. Now, that doesn't mean maybe that you understand it all right off. But it means you're involved in seeking to reason with God about these things. You're willing to think about them and ruminate and then meditate on them and make them your own. Receiving the word on the good ground is he who hears the word, understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces. And just like we talked about a few weeks ago as far as the body having different attributes or abilities, even the Lord here says that some will produce 100-fold, some 60, some 30. There's going to be a different rate of production, if you will. But the point is to produce. Leave the counting up to the Lord. Be involved in the production of that fruit is the point. And included in our bearing fruit as disciples who have had the Word planted in us is, well, it's sowing the seed, becoming and being the sowers of this word. If you look over at Matthew chapter 28, please understand here that the Lord is speaking first to his apostles. Those apostles had unique and special qualifications that none other had. There is no one who is qualified like these men were then. There is not a one of us who is given the same responsibilities as the apostles altogether in that office that they possessed. But by virtue of the instruction given to them, there is of necessity a passing on of instruction that is to be passed on one to another, to another, to another, even down to the many generations that would come after them. Look at what Jesus, who is in his resurrected body, says in verse 18 of Matthew 28. Jesus came and he spoke to them, saying, all authority is given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them. Who? Disciples, people who have learned and who believe and who have been baptized, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. What is it that Jesus has commanded? To share this gospel, to sow the seed. And Jesus even adds to that, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. And Jesus is still with those who sow the seed today. Jesus is still with us as we engage in discipleship and as we engage in obedience ourselves and in scattering the seed broadly. This is what Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2. The things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. So faithful, teaching the faithful, so that they can then teach others this saving message, this sound doctrine. And that's exactly why in Acts chapter 8 and verse 4, when there is this great persecution against the Lord's church, that the disciples went everywhere preaching the word. The apostles remained back in Jerusalem, but the disciples, these faithful brethren who were not apostles, were scattered. And when they went, they carried this message and they scattered that seed broadly. And that, in the book of Acts, we see had a wonderful and great effect on God's plan in sharing this message with all nations, all men, everywhere. Such that by the time of the writing of the Ephesian and Colossian letter, it could be said that the gospel had gone out to every creature under all creation. Now, sowing the seed can be as simple as offering an invitation. If you look back at John chapter 4, we find a time in which Jesus is having a dialogue with a woman about himself and about his status as the Son of God and as the Messiah. And he says in part that he is the Messiah and that she is speaking to him. And this just astonishes her. She is amazed at the things that Jesus knows about her. And it says then in verse 28, based upon what she learned from him, that she left her water pot, which is, by the way, why she initially came to that place. She went her way into the city and said to the men, "Come, see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ?" And they went out to the city and came to him. And there's a wonderful dialogue that takes place in the next section, which we'll look at another time very soon. That indicates that these individuals who accepted this simple invitation to come and to meet Jesus, to listen to what he has to say, that they then believe, not just because of her invitation, but because of Jesus himself. And that's what I'm suggesting, that you and I, even if we were just baptized today, and with our zeal and our enthusiasm and energy for the Lord and knowing the good news, we could simply say, "Come and see the Christ. Come and hear the word of God. Come and know God." And then let them be converted by the power of God's word, the seed, which we're scattering and sowing broadly. This invitation is something that we can imitate. That woman didn't know everything there is to know about Jesus or about his kingdom or about the church. And yet she did what she could and had amazing results as a result. And look at 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. It is sowing the seed is being prepared and then opening our mouths and hearts so that we can answer the question of someone. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15, Peter says that we are to sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. That is to hold him and give him priority and special place in yourself. But always, he said, be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. The idea there of meekness and fear is not meekness and fear of them. It is meekness and fear of God. It is having the wherewithal to understand that I have a responsibility before God to represent him before this one who asks me a question about my hope. And while even the most newborn infant in Christ won't know everything there is to know about the Bible and about God and about his sacrifice, the newborn babe in Christ can tell someone what they did to become a newborn babe in Christ. And that's something that I dare say we all, everyone, should be able to do. How did you become a Christian? Why did you become a Christian? If our conversion is true and based upon the Word of God implanted in our hearts, then our answers, while unique in maybe place and time, are universal in source. The seed planted in our Word bore fruit. We became the faithful through obedient faith. How did you become who you are in Christ? That's something we can and we should be able to tell others about. And it will have an impact because God tells us as much. Because the word implanted in a good and honest heart will bear fruit. To different degrees, certainly. To different audiences, certainly. But that fruit involves, to some degree, an evangelism of the word. A speaking of truth. A sharing of an invitation. But I'm afraid sometimes we might allow our thinking to get in the way of doing our work as sowers of the word. And perhaps there's a lot more to say about this, but I want to keep it simple for our sake and our time this morning. Sometimes we presume who will or won't accept the word, and I already had addressed that, in the fact that the sower is to scatter that seed broadly. Every heart should be able to hear the same message and accept or reject it in their own choosing. But I think, secondly, perhaps we overestimate what we're responsible for accomplishing. We assume we're responsible for everything, when in reality, we only have a limited responsibility. So we may overestimate what we're responsible for, and we let that hinder us, handicap us, isolate, or even just stop us dead in our tracks so that we don't do what we could do. And thirdly, maybe we underestimate the power of the gospel, and that goes hand in hand with overestimating what we're responsible for. And that's what we're going to talk about next. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. The point being, any kind of thinking on my part that hinders what I'm responsible for, and the same would be true for all of us, if anything hinders my bearing fruit, it doesn't do or accomplish what God wants me to accomplish. It results in something other than bearing life. Let's do look at another parable real quick. In Mark chapter 4, this is the parable of the seed. This is the parable of the seed. In Mark chapter 4, verse 26, this is a much shorter parable. But here he says, in verse 26 of Mark chapter 4, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground, and should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how. In this parable, the focus Jesus has for his disciples, for you and me, is on germination, on the production part of this seed, about its growth by the power that's contained within the seed itself. Now, from what I understand, there are two busy times in gardening and farming, especially, not only. But that's in the time of planting and the time of harvesting. Now, I didn't say that's all there is to this. I didn't say it was simple. But those are two of the busiest times for the farmer or the gardener, is in the seed planting and the harvesting of that fruit. And we know the wise man, for example, says to everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to pluck up what is planted. But you know, sometimes between that planting and the harvesting, there's a time of waiting. There's a time of waiting. And in fact, what's going on with that seed might not be observed at all by the farmer or the gardener, or, to think of the parable in its proper place, by the sower who sows the seed in the hearts of others. This is the time when a farmer, a gardener, or the sower, you and I, must trust that the seed planted is capable of doing its part. That it is capable of growing and coming to maturity so that it will bear its fruit in its right time if the other individual handles their responsibility. So I have to be patient, and you have to be patient with that. It's going to maybe not be seen by you or me in our lifetime. Maybe it'll be something or someone who goes off to bear that fruit, and we never know it. God knows. Now, the farmer, the gardener, the sowers, we have other work to do. There is a responsibility to have upkeep on the place, but the seed is responsible for doing a lot of what's to come. We might sow in other fields. There is activity going on under the soil we don't see, but we trust that God's word will bear its fruit, will have its good place in the good heart. And what Jesus says in our text is that even while the farmer is sleeping, that word is working. So maybe it's time for a rest. Well, God's word, it still works. In fact, a farmer doesn't have to know much about the seed for that seed to produce an amazing crop. Have you ever dropped seeds and you didn't have a clue that you were doing it? Well, sure you have. Maybe whenever you throw out a piece of fruit or some piece of vegetable that's out in the yard or somewhere else and it produces, you didn't plan on that. But there's power in that seed. And even though you didn't know about it and you didn't plan it, the seed did its work. It has the life in it. Now, don't say that I said farming is easy. That's not what I'm saying at all. Gardening is not easy. And the sowing that we do is not easy. I'm not saying that farmers are ignorant, that gardeners are ignorant, or that we can be ignorant. But I'm saying there is something in that seed that is more powerful than we will ever be. And we have to trust God who gave it to do the work through that seed. And we have to do our part. There's work to be done by the seed, and that can't be done by the sower. It's a time of waiting, of trusting, and expecting and being ready for the harvest. But it doesn't mean we're free from responsibility or work. The work of sharing the word of God or scattering the seed, to use the illustration that Jesus has done, is a work that we should all be engaged in to various degrees and abilities that we have. Let's not forget the power of God's word is in his word, not in ourselves. Paul says it this way, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. This power is in God's word. And Moses, you remember, offered excuses. God didn't accept that. He said, I made man's mouth. I give you the word. You take it. He allowed the man to have the help of Aaron, his brother. But he also expected and did see that Moses moved on from having that help and did it himself in time. And that's the way it is maybe with us. Maybe we need some help from time to time. We do. But at some point we've got to move on from having help always and do the work ourselves. All of us. Because we know that the seed, which is the word of God, is powerful. It will germinate and grow by God's power regardless of who sows it. If you look over at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, look at verse 5 and verse 6. And Paul is addressing here a concern about some of the brethren in Corinth who were thinking too highly of themselves or in other individuals. And in part, one of the things that Paul said by inspiration of the Spirit in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5 and verse 6, who then is Paul and who is Apollos? But ministers through whom you believed, as the Lord gave to each one. And here's the phrase that I want you to notice, the instruction given. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. You and I are involved in the planting and the watering. God is in charge of and responsible for the giving the increase. And so we simply need to do the work given to us and see the fruit being born in the lives of others, and experience the fruit being born in our own lives. The Lord knows what we need, and He understands growth better than we ever will. His divine power has given us to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, and it's through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue. Do you believe that? Then share it. And I say that as much to myself as to each of you. His message is for everyone. And it's for us to understand and to put into practice and to live by. But it requires that we trust Him and His seed. The text was read earlier from Isaiah, when the Lord speaks about His word and what it will accomplish, it accomplishes what He desires, the things for which He sent it. So let's be a people who trust God, trust His word to do its work and do our part by sowing the seed, whether it's in the invitation that we extend to others to come and to hear and to meet the Christ in the word of God, or it is in giving an answer for the hope that is in us. Please take your songbooks and prepare to sing the song of encouragement. You know, our trust in God is expressed not just in saying, "Oh, I trust. Oh, I believe. Oh, I know. I will." But is in our obedience. It's in the doing. It's the faithful hearer that does it. And that's why everything that we find in the scriptures that points to those who are saved are those who responded to the instruction given by the Lord and by His Holy Spirit. And so the Lord Himself, in that resurrected body that we met, if you will, in Matthew chapter 28, has this to say in Mark 16, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned." If you're a child of God, you're not an apostle. But because of the instructions given by the apostles, we have a word to sow. And we have a responsibility and opportunity to share this good message with others. That message, in its basic form, is he who believes and is baptized will be saved. We tell them the truth so that they can believe it for themselves and come to the Lord through obedience in baptism. Enter into Christ who offers them salvation. That is fruit being born. And if we can help you this morning in doing that in your life, please come forward while we stand and while we sing the song that's been selected.